This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. We continue our discussion about the homeless situation in Greater Cincinnati by looking at the homelessness prevention programs designed to help families avoid entering shelters with Jewish Family Service Director of Vital Services, Fran Geffert, Executive Director of St. Vincent de Paul, Mike Dunn, and Strategies to End Homelessness Executive Director, Kevin Finn. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. Email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Kevin, good to see you back. And Fran and Mike, thank you for joining us here.
Thanks for hosting us, Mark.
Thank you.
Kevin, can you kind of give us an overview of how many organizations are there in Cincinnati that are dedicated to helping people and families in homelessness?
Prevention specifically? Or
overall.
There are about 25 agencies that work with people who are literally homeless. There are a whole nother set of groups that do prevention with families. And prevention really most specifically takes two forms. There is something that I always refer to as emergency assistance that is financial assistance to help people save or maintain housing that they already have. So emergency assistance helps people get caught up on their rent, utilities, that sort of thing. St. Vincent de Paul is the largest provider of emergency assistance in our area. Jewish Family Service also does emergency assistance. But the second layer is what we call shelter diversion, which is interventions for people who have already lost their own housing. They are now doubled up and relying on someone else for a place to stay, and they are running out of such options. So their next stop would be the street or an emergency shelter. Jewish Family Service is one of our longest-term partners in terms of providing shelter diversion services.
Any idea how many shelters in town are providing housing for entire families, Kevin?
How many shelters?
Yeah,
we have four shelters that will take a family. The other shelters, there are six others that only serve single individuals.
Fran, tell me about the type of work that you're doing at the Jewish Family Service. What does that involve?
Well, as Kevin mentioned, there's two programs, and both St. Vincent de Paul and Jewish Family Service are involved in these programs. The Emergency Assistance Program is a very long-standing program that about 30 agencies, social service agencies, and other organizations have been working on in this area. And that's a real basic service, meaning in the old days, it was a one-hit type of assistance. So somebody would walk in saying, I can't pay my rent. There was only so much money to go around from various agencies. And many agencies would say, I'll give you $50. I'll give you $100. And then the family would need to move on to the next agency or maybe to their church or their synagogue to get additional money in order to, as we would say, cobble together the rent for that month. We are moving far away from that model, and I'm happy to say that those 30 emergency assistance providers are now working in collaboration through a learning circle model at United Way, and we are moving to a model of, if somebody needs a full month's rent, let's go ahead and strive to put more resource towards that, pay that whole month's rent, so that family can get on with the day-to-day struggles that you heard about earlier from Susan and Kevin, and not be so stressed looking for the extra $50, the last $100 they need to pay their utility bill, but provide them at least a month's worth of intervention. What Jewish Family Service learned early on when we got involved in this work about 7 or 8 years ago was, in addition to the full rents payment, the $500 or $600 that we would provide to that one family to stabilize them, we did exactly what I just said. We would try to stabilize them, meaning there are other services that social workers and case managers provide in guiding and working with a family, and you heard the myriad of problems. There's abuse, there's lack of education, lack of work. You have children who need daycare in order for families to go to work. There's no transportation. Our mass transportation is just not strong enough to help people get to the doctor's appointments, get to school, get to work. And work doesn't often pay enough to sustain people. So what we provide now, all of the agencies are moving to this model to the extent that they have resources to do so, is this stabilization model. Let's work for 30, 60 days together with the family. We might be paying 2 months' worth of rent to get them a little bit more stable. So that's the most basic service. Kevin referenced shelter diversion, and shelter diversion has federal funding to provide much longer-term care.
More like 3 to 6 months is how long shelter diversion takes.
But I will say at the outset, in many instances, even the 3 to 6 months provided by shelter diversion, it does a lot, but it isn't always enough. There's always something that these families need because they're often still one paycheck away from falling into that same cycle of potential homelessness.
So, Fran, if I'm hearing you right, you're moving from short-term solutions to looking for longer-term solutions on this issue.
Yes, to the extent that there are resources in the community or from the federal government or other sources, we are looking to do that. But it takes a lot of resource to maintain that kind of care for a family that's been struggling.
Mike, how does Cincinnati do in terms of the resources it has for dealing with this issue?
It's a great question, Mark. And as Kevin alluded to, we are at St. Vincent de Paul the largest provider of emergency assistance here in Cincinnati. With that said, we served over 125,000 people in 2014, and we turned away nearly as many people as we were able to assist. So great work is being accomplished. We're serving a lot of the population, but we're turning away just as many as we're ultimately serving.
Somebody comes to St. Vincent de Paul for a family that's facing homelessness. What are some of the things you do to help them?
We kind of have a wide variety of programs. It starts with a rent and utilities program where we gave out over $1 million of assistance to 6,000 different individuals. We have a charitable pharmacy at St. Vincent de Paul that provided over 36,000 prescriptions valued at $4.5 million in 2014. We also have a series of food pantries. We provided food 110,000 times in 2014. We also have a network of thrift stores throughout Cincinnati, 7 different locations, and we provided over $750,000 worth of vouchers for furniture and home supplies. Again, we're kind of the last stop, the last resort for folks to help them prevent from becoming homeless.
Kevin, is it more cost effective to be preventive than it is to just let people fall into homelessness?
Well, it absolutely is. I mean, as Fran and Mike both mentioned, they are serving people even as the emergency assistance moves toward a stabilization model where they're helping for 1, 2, maybe even 3 months. That is still an earlier intervention than even shelter diversion is, and the price tag to that is even less than shelter diversion. But even shelter diversion costs 1/3 of what it costs to help the average person after they're homeless. So in shelter diversion, we spend about a little over $1,000 per person, but the cost of serving a person who becomes homeless is a little over $3,000. So emergency assistance, because it intervenes earlier, tends to be by far the most cost-effective intervention. It could be, in some cases, as little as $200 or something, or a few hundred dollars that might make a difference for a family at that moment in time. If we wait to help them until they're already literally homeless, the price tag is considerably higher than that.
And Mark, what we find is 89% of our clients that receive at least $200 of rent and utility assistance are able to avoid eviction for at least 6 months. So as Kevin alluded to, that $200 does go a long way.
And that $200 might help the mom with two kids that we were talking about earlier. The $3,000 that I gave the cost of serving a person who's homeless, that's per person. So that same mom with two kids, that would be $9,000 that we would spend in supporting them after they have become homeless.
And the issues really of the stress and what happens to the children, I think you talked about earlier, in having to change schools. Children lose the things that they love. you know, possessions are gone. If you can imagine putting everything that you love into one small, or into a garbage bag.
A very sad situation, yeah.
Losing it and then starting over again. So financially, I think Kevin's aptly described that. And then, but the stress that it causes also makes people make poor decisions as well. So there's psychological studies that we have that shows that IQ is actually lowered at the point of stress, and people make poor financial decisions when they have limited resources. And it's something that, you know, they're not just using bad judgment. It's the stress that has created this situation and then caused the downfall and the more expense overall.
And Mark, certainly so much of this conversation turns to money, but I think Fran really just nailed it on the head. There's so much of the unquantifiable part of this conversation that you don't know the damage of all this until you spend time with these children and with these families and see how this is truly impacting not only those individuals, but how that ultimately impacts our community at large.
Fran, you were talking earlier about how you're shifting from these short-term solutions to these longer-term solutions. When did that whole shift start? Is that something fairly recent, or has that been going on for some time?
It's probably very early in the process when Jewish Family Service was starting to receive more phone calls, and we get phone calls from all over the city. We're not as popular as St. Vincent de Paul in the number of calls we get, but we get around 500 calls a year. And again, just like St. Vincent de Paul, can only serve about half of them. But I think what happened was we realized early on when we sent that person away with the $200, or even if it was the full month's rent, and either we had done some assessment and we just knew in our hearts and in our minds, we're sending this person away to fail. They'll have success for 30 days, but we did not approach the root cause of this person's difficulty. And we just started realizing that because we are social workers. And I think anyone who sits with these families will realize, gee, there's a whole lot going on in their situation. So we decided financially it didn't make sense to give somebody $500 and know that next month they'll visit St. Vincent de Paul or Bethany House or Mercy Franciscan because they were going to fail. It was obvious. And so it took more money over the couple of months, 2-3 months, and took our resource, to a staff person to sit with an individual, make good referrals, take them downtown to recertify food stamps, et cetera. It took more money up front, but down the road, we knew that there would be a payoff.
And we were talking earlier specifically about the Solutions for Family Homelessness Plan. One of the recommendations in that plan is something called lightest touch, which means we want to provide families with the level of assistance that they need in order to become stable. We don't want to just have arbitrary sort of points at which they can access assistance and otherwise they're sort of on their own. We want to provide the lightest touch necessary to help them, but preserving as much of the resource still as we can to serve other families as well.
It almost sounds like the old saying, Kevin, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Is that the case with this?
It is very much the case. If we could intervene early, we could intervene in a smaller way, but still have the same impact or even more impact because we reduce so many of the problems that we've mentioned that come later.
And frankly, what I believe anecdotally happens as we get smarter about and putting more resource towards prevention, we're actually not able to help because, again, of limited resources, we cannot help as many families. So the $50 to this family or the $100 to this family, we may have turned away a few more people because their problems were $3,000 big and they were 1 foot into shelter. And as providers in this arena, we understand that, all right, the safety net ultimately is the shelter system. But rather than spread a lot of money across a broad base that only solves maybe 15-20% of the problems, we would rather work more holistically one-on-one with a family and spend the time and money in that prevention arena. But the result is there isn't enough resource then to touch as many people often.
We'll continue our conversation and take your phone calls at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Joining me this afternoon to discuss prevention programs to keep families out of homelessness, Jewish Family Service Director of Vital Services, Fran Gafford, Executive Director of St. Vincent de Paul, Mike Dunn, and Strategies to End Homelessness Executive Director, Kevin Finn. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Mike and Fran, how do families make that first connection with your organizations?
In our case, there's a lot of different ways they ultimately come to us. We largely are a volunteer-based organization, which makes us somewhat unique in this space. We have something that we call our conferences, 57 of which are parish-based, and it consists of over 965 or so volunteers. We actually go to our client's place of residence and see how it is they are currently living and what challenges they are facing in their life. So certainly that is the beginning point for St. Vincent de Paul, meet our neighbors in need where they are. Beyond that, we're the largest referral from United Way. And then there is a great network amongst the social service nonprofits here in town. Knowing which one of us can provide which level of service, certainly there's a lot of referrals.
And for Jewish Family Service, I think the route to us often is someone calling in, just thinking of a resource, a Catholic social service, St. Vincent de Paul. I'm sure you just get random phone calls. So we do get calls from all over the region. I mentioned about 500 annually, much smaller. We're certainly much smaller than St. Vincent de Paul. But what we try to do then is network with the hospitals. We do a lot of work supporting mental health issues, which, again, that's a big challenge in this area when there's mental health challenges. So we work with the community mental health services like Central Clinic, Greater Cincinnati Behavioral Health. We network with the other emergency assistance providers. United Way knows that we are a Clifton area provider, meaning Clifton is a very diverse neighborhood, and we are serving the poorer areas, the low economic areas in Clifton, such as Coryville, University Heights, Fairview Heights, where there is 50% poverty in those neighborhoods. So United Way knows us as a Clifton provider, and people call. And again, we try to assess for eligibility. If there's some other place they should be better served, we will refer them to another place, as any of the emergency assistance providers do. We have only recently moved into Clifton about 2 years ago. We have a beautiful food pantry and then our other case management services. And we have reached out to probably about 15 churches in the area. There's two community rec centers, and there are a lot of families there who are on using daycare vouchers to have after-school care if families are working. And the public libraries in Clifton have been a wonderful source of referral. So we try to spread the word as best we can.
Kevin, is there a central point, one spot that you can use to access all these services?
Our community does have, obviously the United Way's 211 line that Fran mentioned, that is a resource for people who need a variety of services. When you talk about homelessness specifically, our community has a service called the Central Access Point, or CAP for short, which is a hotline, 381-SAFE. That if people need information about resources that are available specifically because they are at risk of becoming homeless, they can call the CAP line and they'll be put in touch with the right resources. And that is actually the number that if a family needs to get into shelter, they would call that number specifically to find out which shelters have space available, that sort of thing.
The number to call if you'd like to join the conversation, 419-7100. Let's talk with Kyle in Westside. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I work with a church on the west side and help and serve those who are requesting rent assistance and, you know, energy assistance. I'm just wondering how we, as those in the faith community, can help with the coordination and the collaboration and the success that you all have together and not add to the fragmentation.
Thank you, Kyle.
Well, it is a good question, and I'm trying to flip what I just was talking about, which was because we're working as Jewish Family Service in the Clifton area, we have conducted some outreach into the faith community that surrounds us. So I'm wondering, you know, how can we flip that? So you as a congregation, as a church, perhaps there is a social service agency near you, and I'd be happy to even, well, you could call 211, I think, probably better than calling me, and find what agencies are serving your area. So there's probably a food pantry. There's 250 food pantries in our region. And you could probably find some of those agencies through United Way and then connect with them. I would highly recommend developing those relationships.
I would be curious to know if Kyle was a part of a St. Vincent de Paul conference. So,
Kyle, that was, as you were describing your situation, I was curious what parish you may be involved in, if that is indeed the case.
And he's not on the line, Mike, anymore, Mike.
Got
so,
it.
Yeah.
But there are several St. Vincent de Paul conferences on the west side.
Absolutely. And I would recommend to Kyle just call on us and figure out if he isn't a member of a parish that sponsors the conference now. Certainly there is a parish right around the corner from him that is involved with St. Vincent de Paul.
How important is volunteerism getting involved in this issue? I mean, do you get enough of that?
I think it's absolutely critical. St. Vincent de Paul uses many, many volunteers out at their conferences in the community. I have been one of those volunteers. But then there are also things like we were talking earlier with Susan Schiller from the shelter. You know, the shelters only have so many dollars to operate their facilities. To the extent that groups are willing to come in and serve meals to their residents and things like that, it frees up dollars that they can then turn around and use to meet the needs of the children and things like that. We even locally have one shelter, the Interfaith Hospitality Network of Greater Cincinnati, that they are staffed completely by volunteers overnight, and the families are hosted by congregations and groups out in the community. So it is a shelter without a shelter in that they don't have their own shelter building, but volunteers come together to meet the needs of those families.
And Mark, that's why we really appreciate you hosting us today. And you might have seen the spread in Cincinnati Enquirer this past week. As more people tell this message, and there's plenty of people in Cincinnati that want to assist and be a part of the solution, and some of them just don't know how to. So the more opportunities we get along these lines, I think, again, you're doing your part in helping us connect with those potential volunteers.
So to wrap things up here, Fran, what do we need to do to help families that are facing homelessness? Where do we need to improve our efforts?
That's a big question. There's so many things. There's so many different faces of these families who are homeless, and there's so many things typically that they need: education, job training, financial literacy programs. Kevin and I have talked a little bit about cross programs case management or aftercare case management, so ways to extend the work that we do beyond we've put you in housing, but now what? How do we help you stay in housing?
I do want to say a huge one,
my big issue is more affordable housing, and I'd like to see mixed housing. That's huge,
that
and I think everyone has said this.
The lack of affordable housing is sort of the one common element across the board that impacts whether a family is behind on their rent and needs emergency assistance, or already lost their housing and needs shelter diversion, or is struggling to get out of a shelter. The lack of affordable housing is the one issue that sort of goes across the board.
Well, Kevin, Fran, and Mike, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks for having us, Mark.
Thank you.
Jewish Family Service Director of Vital Services, Fran Gafford, Executive Director of St. Vincent de Paul, Mike Dunn, and Strategies to End Homelessness Executive Director, Kevin Finn. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Kevin Rawinski. I'm Mark Haney. Of a child who struggles in school can be challenging and frustrating, but parents of children with very high IQs face their own challenges and frustrations. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll discuss how to provide gifted children with the proper mentally stimulating environment. And we'll look at the American Jewish Archives, the world's largest freestanding research center dedicated solely to the study of the American Jewish experience. That's Cincinnati Edition, Friday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.